Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that was five?
I don't know. Don't answer the numbers. I make them up as I go along, you know. Okay. The last point, which you touched on before, is we touched on verbal versus nonverbal. Is that a
Yeah, we touched on it, but I don't think...
You gave it as an afkamina?
I don't think so.
Okay. We did have it. Okay. The last one, okay, so then we'll leave that one. Last one is, this one I saw on one of these Shalom Bayis forums, just as an aside. This is a paid advertisement. By your local bookstore. There's a very nice forum out there. Which I don't advise you should read. They're very nice because they really get some very good ideas. And some of them, there's one very nice one by Rabbi Zelig called Marriage. Very innovative name. It's on the topic of marriage. And he does Shalom Bayis counseling. So some of the examples that he gives over there are pretty scary, like how whacked out human beings can be. Like, you know, men and women, like some of them are like, how stupid could you be? But you start, like, if you read enough of them, you start wondering, like, maybe I'm also that stupid. You're not that stupid. So, like, if you read it, just don't let it get to your second tier. They say about Sigmund Freud, the problem with Sigmund Freud, he developed his theories about mankind based on people he was seeing in psychotherapy. So I'm not saying that. His theories are good. His points are very well. You know, just some of the examples that he gives are extreme a little bit. There are two very nice books out there, forum out there. There's one written art school publication called Be Your Son. Very nice one. I like by Rabbi Goldschmidt. Written in the form of letters written from a father to a son, advice about marriage. Very sweet. There is one put up by Feldheim, a lady named Atara Malach, as an angel, you know, Malach, M-A-L-A-C-H.
Atara Malach?
Atara Malach. The name of the book is You Owe It to Yourself, I think. Your keys on the cover. Keys to marriage, some of them. The Milo book very much is written by a woman. So you get a lot of the woman's insight into the perception of what's going on in the marriage. So if you want to get a feel about how women think, it's a great place to look. You know, and the advice she gives, she has some very good advice. They're like, you know, again, some of them are, you know, some of the cases are very good. The examples that she gives are a little bit extreme. Don't like it, you know, don't start worrying like, you know, am I going to be that crazy also? Like, you know, you're not going to be that crazy. Anyway, that was a paid advertising. Tell them, anyway, the reason why I said this is because I saw this in a book called Two Halves of a Whole. It's written by a husband and a wife team. The husband part, the wife part. I would suggest that they should do the opposite. Anyway, to see how it come out. And the example of the point which is over there is that men are, in general, we'll still go back to this, less emotional, that men are more stable. And women are there's a lot more fluctuation in their emotions, etc. And that's a muscle where you have a neither. A woman is a neither. She has a flow and an ebb. She has an up and she has a down. And that's true in a very physical sense. That's an important point. Which besides in an emotional sense, the nature of the process of the woman coming in neither, etc., the flow and the ebb, the hormones actually physical will make enough to in her mood. Or they could. So women will have these swings more than men will because of the chemicals in their body. So a woman looks to a man, looks to her husband, to provide some sense of stability. That doesn't preclude that a husband can't discuss an issue with his wife, as you know, or his wife, you know, I need you to be strong, you know. You know, women are pretty strong also. So, still going to blow it. But it's something to keep in mind that the wife looks to her husband, he should have a day. Not just in the back, the wife wants to please her husband. The wife wants to please her husband. She wants the husband to want something. She likes the husband to have an opinion about something. Like, you know, men are very good at whatever. You know. Like, well, what do you think? Should we do this or not do this? Should we move or not move? You know, I'm not sure. What do you think? You know, she would like her husband to have an opinion. She would like to feel like there's somebody she can rely on, he can take care of, you know, he can be in charge. Something to think about. Okay. Those are the differences. We touched on a lot of differences. So it gives you a little bit of a feel for the head of the job, for the job ahead of you. Okay. Now we're going to go and we'll talk about that if a person wants to address Shalom values, so as I heard that you differ from the Mishkiah, the Tamanah, the Rosh the Masharim Spirin. One of his lines he coined was that a woman wants three things in a marriage. And they all start with the letter A. And I'm going to ask you, if you haven't heard this already from one of the guys who sat with me in the dumbness, take a shot at what you think the A should stand for. I actually have added a fourth one. It is AAA. So I have a quadruple A. Don't talk about what a man needs in a marriage. You heard that also?
No, not okay. Never that.
Okay, what do you think a woman needs in a marriage? It starts with the letter A. Go for it. If you get a really good one, I write it down. Mm-hmm. One guy says, the wife wants the husband to admit, to accept, and to agree. That's none of the ones that I want. There's three good lines. I like
that.
No.
Attention,
adornment, and acceptance.
Okay, attention, adornment, and acceptance. Okay, that's interesting.
Attention, I definitely, I think that's got to be.
Acceptance, I already have acceptance. Acceptance, okay.
I don't know.
Okay, the three which he gives are attention. Yay, Joe.
I just think I heard this.
Appreciation. Then you get, then you.
I get negative.
You're negative. You're one of three, pretty bad. Appreciation is the second one. And affection is the third one. Over the time I've done this, I've gotten awareness of what wife needs. I've gotten acceptance. The one that I add is the wife was often to pick up rice. Now, we need to talk about all of these points, what they mean. I heard this a bit actually from the tape from Luke Berkowitz. He spoke about here's the guy that's going out of it. That's very much one of the main points of the most of the husband taking the bride. He doesn't involve the Gemara. Says the wife wants the husband who will take the bride, the prognosis, the better. What does that mean? Because you have two guys. You have guy number one, this fellow is a person who has the wherewithal within. He's a person, he takes care of it. He gets things done. He has no degree, he has no background in anything, but his nature is the type of guy gets things done. He has no job. Number two, the guy is not like that. But much, he went to college, he has his job, right? Which person will a woman feel more confident marrying? So, many people will suggest number two. Not necessarily so, because in our job market nowadays, having a job doesn't mean so much because you can lose your job. And then what's supposed to happen to this one, after he loses his job? Can he get a second job? Can he find a way to get things done. I had a fellow here in Yeshiva who had no college degree and no background in anything, and he met a young lady in the self-shotgun mode, is what we call it. They were counselors of the camp together. I mean, boys camp, they always happen to share the same. We shall remain nameless if there's such a camp that should exist in the Silver Spring at any point in time in its history. They should have boy counselors and counselors living near each other. But it was such a thing once upon a time, you know, roughly a beat in the year before the Common Era or something like that. And anyway, so... mother and the father of the young lady were quite concerned that this fellow was young and he had no way of supporting himself. And I told the mother, I said, this fellow will do whatever it takes to make sure this good is safe. He has to be a busboy at night and a tax driver by day, he'll do it. But he will make sure that this good is safe. And Kakav, they got married, Rosh Hashem. So he's a guy who plays on the computer, he has multiple computers, he plays on computers. Rosh Hashem is able to mishad at him with somebody I know who works in the hill over there, that they're looking for somebody to do some work on computers. And listen, try him. You can take him for cheap, he'll have a degree. Does a good job, you got a guy. He's worked with him for 3 years. He moves on to the next job. Yeah, no, they taught him, they self-taught himself how to work with computers, no degree. And now he's got, you know, a nice job. You know? But he's the type of guy he is. That is, a woman wants to have a feeling that her husband is going to take charge. She's, you know, the Kiddush and the Muslim being stable. So she wants a guy who's an Achroi. So, and same thing comes in the world of Rukhmiyah. Whereas a woman has many Achroi's of Mashurim, etc., she wants to feel that the husband will take charge of it. She wants the husband to, you know, is this the right thing for our house? Is it the wrong thing for our house? Do we want this? Allow this in our house? You know, have an opinion. Take care of it. You know, if you're not sure, you ask the Shiloh. The reason why I started running Halacha was this issue. Baruch Hashem, the person that was it. So my wife, Baruch Hashem, learned Halacha in Yeshiva High School under Rabbi Einemer. The man used to give the Halacha shir for the girls. He used to be very involved in the girls' school. And my wife wrote a lot of Halacha, she knows it very well. So there's certain things that they discovered. Now, I learned Yeshiva, I learned Halacha, but I don't remember it, you know, because you know, the woman learned Halacha. It's about, do this in the kitchen and not do that. You know, she knows exactly, next Shabbat she comes to the kitchen, she does this and not that. You know, the guy learned, if you're ever cooking something, you should do this. I never cooked something in my life, you know. So it comes 3 years later, and I don't remember what I'm supposed to do, you know. So every Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, a Shabbos will come up. And every Shabbos, so we would take out the Shmur Shabbos Pilzitzah, and we would flip to the Shmur Shabbos Pilzitzah, and we would find, finally after figuring out what the Hebrew word is, so you look in the index to find it, just before the days of all the English book. So we would look at it, okay, and Mark says, we're relying on this. I don't know. Not my Pilzitzah. We have to ask our Pilzitzah. Baruch Hashem, the Russian was not, and that the Pilzitzah of Yeshiva lived. Yeshiva was here, Yeshiva Lane was here, our apartment was here, it's 15 minutes from here to here, it's 10 minutes from here to here, that's 25 minutes there and back, Friday night in Cleveland in the winter when it's about zero before the wind chill, it's about 30 below with the wind chill. So I finally asked him a little bit of, you know, being quite uncomfortable every shot of not knowing what to do, and being a little bit embarrassed because what are they saying in these machines for anyway, you know, right? So I said, you know, my wife had it. She wanted her husband to be able to give up the time. Do something about it. In here, don't ask the shadow, but do something about it. And the next thing I know was the guy next door who had the exact same problem that I did. Got the connect knock next door now. Like, you know, because Ronald just learned halakha, you know, he just went through the figures and then he knows something about it, so what happened that did, you know. That was the worst thing I ever did in my life, was answering that for Shiloh, you know, like, that was downhill from there. Okay, so that's Muslim about Christ. Muslim about Christ, the husband responsible for the standards of sneeze in the house. The husband responsible for his wife having opportunities for rookie sneeze.
The husband is responsible to make sure that her wife has opportunities for getting out with the friends. The husband is responsible.
Very important.
So that's all under the A of it. The husband has to take, you know, a lot of times the wife will do it herself, but we need the husband. Because you must know, in the back of your mind, that she doesn't have to be the one that's running the show. She has to believe that very much. So don't disappoint her. Okay, so let's talk about the AAA of attention. Okay. Attention is how do you give attention? So you come home at the end of the day and the wife wants to tell you over how her day was. And she will go into great detail telling you over the things that happened in her day, etc. You will have this with some of your kids also. This is where we can talk about to do that. Women touch through speech. So a child also, children will touch you, they connect with you because they can talk to you. They can tell you everything about their day. And of course, you're tired and you're hungry and you have a lot of things to take care of and you have a lot of pressure at work and, you know, there's a real issue going on in the community and she just needs to talk. She touches the speech. Right? And the things she's talking about are not really so interesting to you anyway. You know, the fact that, you know, she decides to use this cookbook over that cookbook, and this cookbook has this virtues over that cookbook, and that virtue, etc. Doesn't really interest you so much. It's a fascinating piece of information, you know. Had you nothing else on your mind, you would be happy to listen to it. But how do you do it? That's not, attention doesn't mean pretending to listen. So there's a story we still belong to, which one of my Chabad and Yeshiva had a very fascinating Chabad based on that. I liked it very much. It goes like this. The story was a social volunteer and the woman's daughter was traveling somewhere for some purpose. They come to an inn, and the woman recognizes the fact that she has a social volunteer, this other daughter here in her inn. She's so excited that she doesn't even have a regular lady, that she's the Baba Buster herself, takes care of them. And she's just, you know, so overwhelmed. And while she's serving them, she says she's talking to her, says a lot to her about her taking care of the inn, because that's what her life is. You know, she has the chickens outside with the eggs, and she has, you know, the cow with the milk, and she has different things that she has to do, and she's talking to herself about her chickens, and about her eggs, and about the cow, and about the key, and about this, if the key means the cow. And so someone's asking her questions, and is listening, etc. And other girls, you know, he's busy thinking about places. Okay, tell them the time they're finished, so they want to pay. And she says, no, Rabbi, please, my school that you have under my inn, please don't take it. So they don't pay her. They walk out of the inn, she says, I'm turns to the other person and says, I think that you over a shot, you have a shot with Zalem. What's with Zalem? You didn't pay for your food. What did she say? She says, no. What did she say? She said that she received payment. The hanor that she got, that somebody who in her mind is considered a very special person, gave of his time to focus on her, is very pleasurable to her. Right? The Mordechai says that the Adam Kosher can give payment by accepting something. Right? So, I gave her something. What did you give her? He totally ignored her. That's the story. Comes my chaver bar, and he says, Rabbi Gerson, and Rabbi Gerson says, well, how do you understand the Maisa Gibson? He's like this. Rabbi Sos wants a vegetable to just as bored as the other brother when it came to the side of chickens and cows. But he feigned instance the terrorist being their terrorist. See, he was a working at his desk. Because she walked away with the impression that Rabbi Sos wants was really fascinated about her cows and her chickens, blah, blah, blah. And she was willing to forgo the payment because he was a so interested in her. Well, he really wasn't interested in her at all. See, he was a working at his desk and Zayla. He was only over Zayla.
She still felt good about it, though.
So, but Maisa, he fooled her. She felt good because she felt such an important person is taking an interest in me. Francis, he did take an interest in me. He doesn't find her cow is very fascinating. But if this person is important to me, what's important to them is important to me also. And that was the horror that he had. It's a very important horror. If your wife is important enough to you, if this is important to her, that's important to you also. If your child is important to you, you know, children are not little adults. They live their own lives in their own way, and they have, in their world, these are important things. And if your child is important to you, then these things should be important to you also. Right? So if your son wants to tell you a joke, the same joke, or the 50th joke for the day, right? Because in his world, jokes are very important. And you're not in the mood of hearing another joke. You're sick and tired of hearing the jokes, right? Or you're hearing your wife how, you know, the baby did the following, you know, made the following message the 14th time in a row, the baby made the same message. You tried this, you tried that, you know. You're like a ball in the belt. You're not in the mood. But it's important to her, so it should be important to you. So attention means truly being interested. Last point, and this is a very important point. We get to your time of engagement also. At some point in the line, along the line, you're going to learn the halachas of herchokos. Have you learned them already? Herchokos are different things which Chazal instituted to act as fences to protect that a person, man and wife, live together when she's in either. So obviously there's a potential for doing something wrong. So Chazal create a certain distances which are between the husband and wife, which will help to keep a sense of the checks to prevent them from doing something wrong. Called her cost. The distance. Now, that's a very important piece of information. Why is it important piece of information? Because Chazal is telling you that these things create connection. So if you want to know where in Chazal defines what can you do to connect with somebody, well, here's your source. Because these are things that Chazal stay away from because they cause connection. Some of them are very obvious. So I once had if you want to know where Chazal gave the lessons of how to create closeness to yourself and your wife, here is the source. I once had a fellow who was getting remarried, had a divorce the first time. He was very nervous. Like, who's going to make the same mistake? I said, listen, let's go through our talks and show how you can use them to your advantage when a woman is tired of them. Okay, that being said, this is a fascinating part. The halacha is that one of the halachas is that a husband and wife cannot eat together when they're in need, which is in need, unless there's some type of reminder on the table. With a hacker on the table. Because Chazal is saying eating together creates a connection. Right? You know, right? You want to make a connection before you take them out to eat. Right? Chazal says, with gimas, eating together is makar. Great. Halacha limits take from some sheep taking a walk together. Right? You're allowed to give your wife a matana when she's in there. Now what does that tell us?
This creates this connection.
This creates this connection. So now, husband might have a little bit of a spat, and you know, things that didn't go so well, sometimes he wants to make up with her, right? So make up to her, so what does he do? She goes out and he buys her some like chocolates, flowers, right? And therefore, he's now connected back to his wife because he's taking care of the issue of not spending connecting with her. No. Because also giving her a present doesn't do it. She doesn't want your money. She wants you. She wants your time. She wants your thought process. If you take that present, she will write a note. Not just a quick note, but until you've thought about what you want to say and how you want to express your feelings to her, that's much more valuable to her than the present. Because that's you. If the present was something that took a long time, and you spent a long time figuring out what she would like, so she didn't enjoy the present, she enjoyed the time that you spent thinking about her. That creates the closure. That's what attention means. Attention, you know, it means that you're giving of your time, because the most valuable thing you have in your life is not your money, it's your time. And your mind. Those are the most valuable things. It's your thought process. You're thinking about it. You're spending time thinking about it. That's much more important. So then you get we had a wonderful fellow over here, which is not really very good at writing notes, etc. And he went to the CVS where he bought a card for his wife. And it said what he wanted to say very nicely. So he signed on the bottom. That was it, you know. So she said to him, "You say we can use again?" There's something personal in there, the whole note. What about you? What do you feel? What do you think? It's a great line. He's like, I know. So Rosh Eisen says one time, he says that you have nothing more to say to your column than the same card which is used by 100,000 Goyisha fiancés to their fiancé. That's all you have to say to your column? Is that same card as everybody else? Look at her. Ever see a girl make a, you know, see a girl, Joey, ever seen a girl write a card to their friend? You buy a card and give it to their friend? It's doctor. They put comments on the pictures and they put captions. It's a production. There's time and thought put in. The guy just gives cards. They're happy they sign it, you know. I'll tell you, a mice, I think these about before months. There's a mice in, I don't want to blow the mice.